District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
Hello again, this is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today I'm here with Simon Turner from CareerEd Consulting. Hi Simon, thanks for your time today.
Hi Alan, thanks very much.
Simon, what's the most interesting thing that's happened to you in a business sense in the last few years?
I guess starting the business itself. It was a bit of an accident.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That sounds good. Tell me.
I hadn't long been retrenched. And I was contracting at a client for 3 weeks back in October 2015, or contracting at an organization, and I'm still there. So I went from contracting for 3 weeks, and they asked me to stay on longer, and it ended up turning into me doing it via my own business, and then I've built around that. So they're still my primary client, but I've built other things around it. So
that's a fairly unique way to start a business.
It is. If you can do it in the economy we've had, hopefully when things turn, it'll be a bit easier.
Let's hope the economy turns.
Yeah. From speaking to a few people, I think we're starting to get there.
Good. Tell me about CareerEd Consulting. How did you get into that?
I didn't grow up wanting to be an accountant. I know very few people who do. So I spent 6 years in the Royal Navy Submarine Service.
Okay.
On nuclear submarines. And then when I left that at 22, didn't really know what to do. Did a couple of years in university just doing a diploma. And then started off as it was actually purchase ledger clerk then. And over the following 20 years, went from ledger clerk through to finance controller, head of finance, and then sort of been running finance teams in the SME sector for the last 8 to 10 years.
Okay. That's a bit of a different...
It is very much so.
Because there's not too many nuclear sub people around.
No, there's not. I was always okay with numbers, but I prefer the strategy side of it and the leadership side of it. It's the technical accountant isn't really my passion. It's more strategic business management, which fits quite well with the CFO stuff.
A lot of accountants talk about cash flow forecasting. You've got here, you want to talk about budgeting and forecasting for SMEs.
Absolutely.
What's the difference?
We all know the adage, cash is king.
Yep.
It's a cliche for a reason.
Yes.
And it absolutely is king. But budgeting and forecasting is more looking at the strategic direction of the business and then creating a budget which becomes pretty much a financial picture of what the strategy of the organization is going to look like. It makes it a lot easier to envisage. It's all well and good having a strategy and having your ideas, but if you don't put them down and into something you can actually see, then it makes it a little bit difficult to sort of to know whether you're on track. So for me, the budget is pretty much a financial view of what the actual goals and objectives of the organization are.
Like it's like the colored graph setup.
Yeah, absolutely. It also gives you something to measure against. It's difficult to know if you're on the right path as a business owner. I know that myself. So it's sometimes just good just to have something there that you can compare against and determine if you're on the right track.
What's the biggest mistake do you think small SMEs make?
The budget goes in the top drawer once they're finished, and it doesn't see the light of day until the following year.
They don't do one at all.
Or they don't do one at all. It's the way I... There's an analogy that I use. You and I are both sitting here now. We both know where we are. We both know where we live. Now, if we try and shut our eyes and get there, which we're going to struggle and we're just not going to make it, that's pretty much what your budget is doing for you. It's giving you milestones. It's giving you waypoints. It's giving you the path to get to where you want to be.
That's a good analogy. That's very good, actually. I've never heard it put like that before, so that is unique.
I think it's part of it with myself is that technical accounting isn't my natural thing. It's more trying to bring it into sort of the real world in layman's terms and make it easier for people to understand. It's too easy for us to get caught up in technical jargon, but that's not what the client wants to hear.
Well, we don't understand it a lot of the time. Mm.
And that's why people like myself can help business owners to to put all this into practice.
Have you had any good success stories?
Very much so. There's a client I use in the working within the city that are not for profit, by us extending the budget out from, they were doing 12 months, always 12 months, we extended out to 5 years, and it showed an impact on the path they were on, and showed the financial impact on the organisation and the negative aspects of that. So it meant that we could actually sit down and address what we were going to do over the following 3 or 4 years, and adjust the strategic plan in order to make sure that they didn't go down that path in the longer term.
What happens if you're in a new business and you don't have any past records? You don't know what happened in the past because it hasn't happened.
Yeah, market research is a big... I mean, you should have been doing your market research anyway. You can look at the people that you feel are going to be your competitors.
Say I'm launching a program, so it's got no history. So how can I do a budget and a forecast?
I guess the big part is that people going into a business will have an understanding of that sector. And they'll have an understanding of what the earnings rates are in that sector, what the potential for them in terms of their market share is. When I was listening to Andy in his interview, and I think it was a D32 interview, he was talking about how he and Kyle had a business consultant a number of years ago, and they were talking about blind faith.
Yes.
Sometimes that's all it is. But as much as you can put together in terms of doing your research, benchmarking organizations that are similar to you, actually sitting down and thinking strategically about the business, you know how much you think you can charge, or you'll have a good idea of how much you can charge. You'll have an idea of how quickly you think the work will come in, although from my experience of the last 4 years, it's very rarely as quickly as you think, by a good margin, I've noticed. There's always something that makes it stretch out a little bit further. But you would have hoped that business owners will have done their homework before they actually jump into it. And that's the whole thing that underpins the budget is that strategic thought process and actually stepping back and looking at how is this going to work.
What's your recommended process if you're going to be creating a budget?
So it's you don't just sit down and start throwing numbers on a page. You've got to sit there and define what your objectives and your goals are in the first instance. So it could be that you want to be hitting X amount of revenue within 12 months, or you want X market share within 12 months, I like budgeting for 3 years because it gives you a bit of a longer term view and takes a lot of the outliers out for me. But if you stop and think about things objectively first, and then you can start calculating your income, your expenses, your cost of sales. You also need to determine the resources you're going to need to achieve those goals. It's all well and good saying that you're going to bring in $5 million of revenue in the first year. How are you going to achieve that? How are you going to? What sales and marketing support do you need? What staff do you need? Where are you going to get your raw materials from? All those things need to be taken into account prior to us even putting numbers on a page. Because that's then going to tell us how things are going to work. The numbers are really the end product of all that strategic thought.
What about if you don't have any full-time staff, or you have very limited full-time staff?
The principles are the same. It's just what the costs and what the revenue is going to be is in different areas. So do you need to have your own servers? If it's going to be e-commerce, do you need your own servers, or can it be done through the cloud? Where are you going to get your stock from? What are you going to have to pay for your stock? What markup are you going to be looking at? Then determine, does that sales price then? Because the one price that's important is the one the customer's going to pay. So it's pointless sitting here coming out with 40, 50% margins on massive material costs if you're not going to be able to sell the goods because the price is too high.
Or too low.
Or too low, which is, you do get a few interviews a few things I've read over the years that about making sure you charge enough, but businesses in their early days do tend to take what work they can get to make sure they get going. People advise against it. If you don't have a massive amount of capital to start with, you don't really have much choice.
No.
And then you can address it later on once you're a bit more stable, a bit more robust.
Yeah. More about budgeting, but what about the budget as part of the management reporting? What do you mean by that? And how does a small or medium business go about that?
One of the big mistakes that people make is once they complete the budget, it goes in the top drawer of their desk and never and doesn't see the light of day again. One, it's a waste of effort putting the budget together in the first place. And two, the budget is a very good tool to be able to determine what variances that may occur during the year. So on a monthly basis, I advise my clients to utilize their budget so they can compare against their actual performance on all the different cost lines and revenue lines that they have, just to ensure that. So these will give an indicator then of where there may be a problem. So, for example, have material costs blown out in the manufacturing process? Have you not been able to sell the goods for as high a level or as high a price as you wanted to? That variance analysis between the budget and actuals will then give an indication, but it's not the be-all and end-all. It then means it gives you somewhere to go and investigate further. That's what key performance indicators do, is they give you an indication of where you then need to go and investigate further.
Because until you know, you don't know.
Exactly. sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
That's right. Quite a lot.
Very much so.
Okay, not once a year, but how often should they review a budget?
So obviously the budget is generally done on an annual basis. And then what we can do, say every 3 months, every 6 months, if the organization's a very, very small micro business, they may not want to use the resources for redoing a forecast partway through the year. They may just rely on the annual budget. If it's a slightly larger organization, then say halfway through the year, then they can redo the recut in a forecast. So they take the budget, apply the actual performance of the first 6 months of the year to it, and then look to see what the trends may be, or if there's an issue, it may be that, for example, you were expecting high repair costs in the first 6 months of the year. They didn't happen, but you don't necessarily take them out because they may happen in the second half of the year. So then look at it line by line to see what you think is going to go on in the business, which will then give you a more accurate indicator of what the performance is going to be towards the end of the year.
So the bigger the business, the more frequently you should review the budget.
Yeah. I mean, I was at one of the large big four banks in the general insurance division, and we did it every 3 months, and it took 3 months to do. So it was literally we'd finish the Q1 forecast and we'd start Q2. And it's literally every time you finish one, you were starting the next one. Yeah. So that it goes to that extent. But, I mean, in a small business, it's just a desktop exercise. It can be done within a couple of days.
A couple of days?
Yeah, it can be done in a couple of days. So I've got a client which is roughly a 9 to 10 million turnover business, and it took me about 3 days last time.
To review?
To review and recut it based on the actuals.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
As much as I didn't want to talk about it, it's just a reminder to everybody that they need to look after their cash. I was going to stay away from it, but yeah, the cash, just get your cash right. There's another little saying that I have, is that if you look after the cash, the profit will look after itself. It's not that simple, but looking after the cash gives you a bigger chance to stay in business, so you can hit the profit numbers when you need to.
You won't be one of the tragic stories.
Yeah, look,
hopefully.
Well, they say that 60% of businesses fail in the first 5 years. This budgeting and forecasting, cash flow forecasting, management reporting, they are tools you can use not to become one of those statistics.
Well, Simon, thank you very much. This is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. We've just been chatting with Simon Turner from Cariad Consulting.
Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the Hour of Connection.